This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry, Mariana, and we have Mr. Jin joining us today. Good morning, you.
Good morning, both of you.
The three of us are having a chat, and there's so much to talk about. Sit back and listen up. How was your weekend?
Barry?
Oh, I tell you what, Ross, there was one person out of the three of us that had a better weekend at Bridge than the other two.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it wasn't me.
It wasn't the males.
No, it wasn't either of us, Ross. So Mariana had a great day at Area Piers in Te Araha on Sunday. She got something like 63.7 in the first session. And if that wasn't good enough, she scored 64 on the other one. So
I know. How about that? It was a great day.
Yes, playing with my friend Rob Davies, and it was an excellent result, Mariana.
Thank you, Barry, and I
are most impressed, and I'm sure the rest of the country is in awe of you.
Absolutely.
You know
what I always say on these occasions, Ross, is some days a diamond, some days a stone. Well,
absolutely.
It was a diamond one.
It was a diamond one. And I tell you what, one of the things after the session, I was wondering how many people actually doubled that day, doubled the contract. So we had 5 contracts that we doubled. And yeah, we were successful in all 5 taking the contract down. But I don't recall a lot of people doubling when we were actually playing. So I wonder if that is the thing. People don't. Or maybe people take their partner out when they double and their partner wishes that they didn't. Interesting stats.
The old saying is that if the opponents always go down when you double them, you're not doubling enough. Sometimes people are going to make when you double them. That's just the way of the world. You can't always be sure. Yeah, there's certainly a lot of match points to be gained in pairs from doubling, even for just one off if they're vulnerable. Turning 100 into 200 is turning out what could be a below average board into a really good board.
And I must say to my partner, Rob Davies, it's a pleasure to play with. It was a fun day.
We find also on the doubles, at the intermediate level, there's much less doubling than at the open level. When we play open tournaments, often absolutely punished by bids that would never be doubled in an intermediate tournament. We just get smashed by open players. Obviously, afterwards, when you look at them, they're foolish bids.
That definitely is the case. You're playing at the club's a classic example. You get away with all sorts of things at the club you won't get away with when you're playing in a reasonable field. Maybe that's a good lesson.
However, having said that, Mariana, I mean, we know that you did fantastically well. Our Gin Club members did well at that tournament also, because John Pepiat and Alex Barshai, both from Thames, they got second overall, and they're both intermediates. And Nita Knight and Sabrina, they got 4th overall. They are all intermediate players.
And all from Thames, so go the Thames Club.
Yeah, excellent, eh?
That's really good. And right in the middle there, 3rd place, was Brett Glass and Emma Russell. And you two, I have you on the lopes, so I need to somehow get your dollars back to you.
I'm just stunned they're not from East Coast Bays, Mariana.
Hey, did you follow what happened down in Wellington?
Barry probably did.
I've just confessed, Ross, I was mainly watching the Open.
Yes, me too. I was watching it very closely. And
that's 8 weeks in a row, Ross.
Really?
Absolutely.
He did it.
Eight weeks in a row. It wasn't looking too good. Jack James got up and run the field. I mean, I don't know whether I can recall anybody winning 8 weeks in a row before. I don't know whether I was looking. And, of course, he has to play 8 weeks in a row for a start, and he's done that. So 8 weeks in a row. The Rory McIlroy of New Zealand Bridge. That's what I'm calling him.
Hey, Barry, we're going to have to get Jack on. We're going to have a chat with him, see what his plan is for the night.
I thought you were going to say see what his secret is.
Yeah,
he was the owner of the Brain Shop container.
Maybe. Who were his team members, Barry? You know them all.
Yeah, Michael Weir and Hugh McGann, and he was playing with Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin.
Nice. What was the team called, Barry?
It was called the Weir Team, Mariana.
Mikey.
She had this theory a while back, Ross, that Michael Weir wouldn't win when he was called the Weir Team. He had to call it something else. He's just blown that out of the water lately.
Every time the team was named something else, well, not every time, but a large majority of it, if the team was not named Weir, they won in this particular year. And when it was, they weren't that flash. He came to Hamilton to play in a tournament, and I presented him with a graph about where, oh, where is the where. It was a lot of fun, that. But yeah, I'm pleased to see. I like it when Mike does well at the table. And hello to Hugh McGann. Haven't seen him for a little while, but he's from our club. And I see that Mike also won the provincial pairs with Martin Reed. Not sure when the last time he actually won a match point pairs tournament. So maybe, Mikey, if you're listening, let us know when that was. Cheers.
I can tell you who won the intermediate teams from Masterton was Trevor Gain, Vela Breitling, Liz Cheatham and Tash Kyle. They won the intermediate teams by a nice little score. The junior pairs was won by Ollie Franklin and Keely Hesketh from Wellington. And they had quite a handsome margin over Laurie Fernando and Pete Roscoe from Capimana. And on the same day alongside them were playing the intermediate pairs, and that was won by Martin Rue and Andrew Kushni from Wellington and Hutt, ahead of Genevieve Pronk and Jacob Pilalis.
What sort of numbers did they get in those events, Ross? I know that quite often intermediate and junior events over these congresses, it's quite hard to get decent entries for those things.
I didn't feel it was really full, maybe 14 tables, not huge turnout.
14 tables is certainly not bad. I know we tried to run them at our congress, haven't we, Mariana? And it's been a bit of a struggle sometimes getting decent numbers of intermediates and juniors to enter.
Talking about Andrew Kushney, I was actually following the intermediates that day because Andrew Kushney used to work with my husband at Tisco in Hamilton.
Mm. I haven't seen his name pop up before, so I was quite interested.
Michael Johnson and Paula Gregory, they were the ones that took out the Swiss pairs in Wellington.
Where were you playing this weekend, Ross? You saw Mariana stylishly winning the area pairs. You were there for that, were you?
No, we didn't go down for that. Did play on Saturday at Auckland and the Anzac.
Oh, yeah. Open. How did that go?
Personally, not very well. Top intermediate pair were your mate Bill Leach and Kerry McRae.
Oh, well done.
Okay, where did they finish, Ross? How far up the field were they? I think it was fourth or fifth.
Yeah, it was a pretty creditable performance because there were some good players there.
Won by Carol Richardson and Steve Bowie.
There was an 8B points, I think. Wasn't a 5A.
Nice. The leftover from last week for the Gin Club. We talk about the scrapbook and also members that are returning back to the game and where they place in the club sessions that they have.
I'm all in favour of people playing myself. So even if they want to come along, they want to come along and play. It doesn't matter how good they are, how much they know. I mean, we've had that situation, haven't we, Mariana, at our club? Somebody that had only, you know, hardly had any lessons at all, and had sort of learnt a little bit online. They came along and played and didn't do particularly well, but hey, they kept on coming. So that's what you want to try and achieve, I guess, at the end of the day.
And Hamilton is a bit lucky because we have a number of sessions, and we have two daytime sessions. One is a competitive non-social session, and on a Thursday morning, we have a novice junior session. And on a Tuesday night is sort of weighted to novice, junior and intermediate, but it's an open thing, basic system night. If you've got sessions available for them, you could guide them to that. But if you don't, well, chuck them in.
Yeah, I don't think I agree that we have a competitive non-social session. I think they're all pretty social.
I met the O'Neill room on a Friday morning.
You said they were non-social. Well, they're definitely social.
Sorry, not non-social. I should have said social.
They're not social like they were in the old days, Barry, where you could sit at the table and have a glass of wine and have a cigarette while you're playing.
Yeah.
Are they? Yeah. Did you see the article from New Zealand Bridge about the 90th anniversary from the Otago Club? It was a really nice article.
Yes.
I did read.
Just a little bit of history there. I learned to play bridge over 50 years ago at Otago when I was at university down there. One of the ladies that was in the photo, Arlene Schwartz, was playing at that time. And another guy I came across recently was Ari Gerson, who plays at Franklin Club. He was at Otago at the same time, 55 years ago now, with us learning to play.
Ari, of course, was the chief director for a long time for New Zealand Bridge, and he was also actually chairman for a while.
And on my very first congress, Ross, Ari was the first person that I met when we were little juniors coming up to play in our first congress. We walked in, we were reading a board, and there he was, came and showed us what to do and everything, took us around the rooms. It was great.
Well, he's still active from Franklin.
Yes.
Yeah. Want more history?
Sure.
History has broken last week. I played my first game ever of rubber bridge.
Oh, wow. Don't talk too loud because Barry doesn't like rubber bridge.
How did you find it, Ross?
I found it really interesting. It took me a while to get the hang of it, but then once you got into it, I mean, it is a format of the game and it's actually quite fun. The lucky element in there is quite entertaining. I enjoyed it. We actually won that. So we're going to play Hamish Brown in next round.
It's a bit different in rubber bridge because if you don't get the card, and it
We
might be
could.
his turn.
Yeah. And I saw the scrapbook book.
Yes.
I've got more information. The year was 1986. New Zealand Bridge issued a challenge to any player who could visit every club in New Zealand within the calendar year.
Yep.
And Mary and Len Couch from Paraparaumu took up the challenge and did it. And Len kept the beautiful scrap of his travels. Every club they visited, there was a little photo, there was a little 5 or 6 paragraphs about how they were greeted, what sort of biscuits they had, how good the coffee was, tea, only bad instant coffee in those days, you know, and how welcome they were and how they did. It's a fascinating document. So I've got 2 or 3 pics of that I can send you, and you can maybe put them up on our
Nice.
Facebook page.
See, that's what I asked you to do, Ross. Take a picture of you with every club that you visited. Isn't it funny how,
I don't think he's going to
what,
get around them all, though.
50 years later, we are doing something like that with you?
Yes,
How
that's right.
about
Well, you give me the budget and I'll visit them all, Mariana.
that?
So I've got a question that we can ponder on. A lady came up to me and she said, Ross, I know you're on the bridge zone, and I wonder if you could just talk to Barry and Mariana. She said, I've been playing intermediate level for 2 or 3 years, and last year I had some really good results and I thought it was going really well. But this year I've had virtually nothing. I'm completely in a slump. I can't get barely get 50%, can't quite get over 50%, and it seems like I'm a different person. What should I consider as a strategy? Like, do I play more? Do I play less and read more? Do I practice on BBO more? Do I change my system? What do you say to someone who's not just intermediate? It seems to be worse for intermediate. If they're keen to do well, what do they do to change a form reversal? And maybe we could talk about that. I'm sure there are a lot of people that go through the same thing. I
Yeah,
mean,
that was the
yeah.
question that was asked of me at our 8B Restricted, actually.
Oh, and viewed
Barry.
as well. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think in the blurb I said, when you've got results like that, it's like sitting at a table and eating without a knife and fork. It's just not happening. Barry had some great suggestions.
I think playing more is definitely one of them. Most clubs, I don't know what club the people that you two were talking to came from. There's usually one or two of the better players that you can talk to. One thing you can do is just take a look at your system, get one of the better players to have a look at it. Know your system, don't have any stuff ups in system. That's one thing that's in your control. When I say don't have any stuff ups, it's hard to avoid them all. You
We
can
know what you
avoid as
mean.
many of them as you can. And if you can get one of the better players to have a look at your system and just see if there's anything in there that they think you should get rid of or whatever. That's a couple of things you can do.
I agree. I think you should play more. A thing that I picked up on Sunday at the Area Pairs was sometimes the lead is quite important, and several times people said, oh, well, that was the wrong lead. I don't know how to fix the leads because at lessons we only teach basics. We top of a sequence, top of an internal sequence. We don't lead away from an eastern like bottom, bottom of something, top of nothing. I don't know why people deviate from that.
I think there's better methods than that. Some people much prefer to get count because this bottom of something, top of nothing,
Yeah.
or, that's all very gimmicky. But whether it's actually a good idea, I don't know. Maybe
Well,
you're
it's
better off to.
basically force, isn't it? Low
No,
promising and honour.
that's not force, that's attitude.
Well, attitude then. Well, I'm talking about lesson. I don't really want to be teaching, say, you've got to play attitude, which is, it's just so much to remember. Admittedly, we are discussing someone that is intermediate.
Yeah. I think you'll find a lot of the top players would rather have the count. You know, they'd rather know that it's a third or fifth or a fourth or whatever you lead. They'd rather know how many cards you've got in a suit.
Okay, that's a good one.
That is really important Whereas a lot of players who are playing attitude leads like that, you know, they're probably not counting the hand out because they can't, because they don't know. Partner might have led a third, they might have led a fourth, they might have led a fifth, who knows what they've led.
Okay.
Well, I'm not saying that's the only way, but if you're going to count the hand, and that's one thing you should perhaps be doing if you want to improve, is try and count the opponent's hands out and partner's hands out, what shape they are. You'll certainly defend better if you can figure out the shape of different hands. Occasionally, you might play against people that play a relay system. Jack plays one of those, Ross, at times. And occasionally, he'll work out that the hand that was relaying is dummy, which means they can tell you exactly what the shape is of declarer's hand. What a huge advantage that is. Like, if you know the shape of declarer's hand and you can be bothered to work it out, you can see dummy, you can work out the exact shape of partner's hand. It's almost like cheating, looking at their hands. And so knowing the shape of all the hands, although it's a bit of work, and most people, to be honest, are probably too lazy to do it. If you want to do it, that will certainly improve your defense, which is what you're doing half the time.
True.
That's the one where you can make the most gains, isn't it, really, in a way,
yeah,
in defending.
Yeah. So, Barry, when you were taking lessons, how did you brief them on leads?
When I was giving the lessons?
Yeah.
On top of the sequence is obviously the best lead. There's just no two ways about that. Gosh, it's a while since I took the lessons. It'd probably be fourths, but I don't think it matters whether you've got an honour or not. You just want to know how many they've got.
There we go. There was another question someone asked me was, what is the advantage, reverse count or normal count? Anyone got an answer for that?
I don't think there's that much in it. I would just say that amongst the good players, I would think that a huge percentage of them would play reverse count. Natural count is not really played so much these days. There are definitely still some very good players playing natural count. I'd say that at least 75% of the top players would play reverse count. And that's good enough for me. I think they think there is some advantage to playing reverse count. But there'll certainly be some hands where you wish you were playing natural count. And
what do you play, Ross?
That's a good point. I reckon there's a lot of junior and intermediate players. I reckon hardly any of them are playing count. And this is another thing. There's another thing about counting the hands out. If your partner gives you count in a suit, you can figure out how many cards they've got in a suit. An odd or an even number, you can usually tell whether it's three or whether it's five. And it helps you to count the hand out while you're defending. It sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it, Ross?
So for the benefit of the gym club members, just explain it.
Natural count is if declarer is playing a suit and you're not involved in trying to win the trick, they lead the ace and you play the eight followed by the four. Playing natural count, that shows an even number in that suit. If you're playing reverse count, it shows an odd number in that suit. You can usually figure out whether it's three or five or two or four or whatever it is. It's not that hard. Once again, it's all helping you count the hand out so that you can defend better. These good players that defend, really, they're not magicians, you know. It's just that their partner's told them how many cards they've got in the seat. They can figure out what's going on. I've actually found, Ross, that a lot of the good players can count to 13.
Yeah.
And a lot of us sometimes struggle to get to 13.
So I guess that is a good tip to pass on to a person, is that just try counting a little bit more.
Count.
One day.
Count some more. That's the tip.
And one day it'll become natural to them.
Yeah, you will find when you start, it actually takes a while and it makes you a bit slower if you're trying to count the hands out. If you persist, it is worth it. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people won't persist. I think it's just too hard. To be fair, you can get by quite often without counting the hands out. Some hands, it's just critical.
One thing that I read somewhere like since is the three C's. So the first thing, it's really confusing. And then the next C is it becomes clearer, so there's more clarity in when you're playing. And then the third C is it becomes competitive. So if you're in that first one where it is confusing, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Grab onto something, work on that, it'll become clearer, and then you pick the next thing. Interesting thing. I've got one more question. When partner plays the ace, promising the king, what would you say to partner when you're leading? See, that could be a way that she could potentially start counting. Because would you play a low one to say I've got an even number, or would you play a high one to say I've got an odd number? But if you had two cards, how do you encourage her to play the king and then play another one? And that could be a simple way to think about counting.
Well, that's not really so much about countering, that's communicating. It just depends what sort of method you're playing on an ace. Are you playing low to encourage or are you playing high to
Yeah.
encourage? That's between natural count. That's not count, that's attitude. So
Attitude.
natural count and
Well,
reverse
but
count,
wouldn't it be counting at the
reverse
same
attitude.
time? Because if you only had two, how are you going to tell partner you've got two? Oh, I see what you mean. You're saying, right, play a low one to say low and courage, keep going, play that game.
Yep, that's right. You might be encouraging them because you've got the queen. Partner can't actually tell whether you're looking for a rough or whether you just want to take your queen. So it's just low's encouraging, high's discouraging, or you can play it the other way around. So that's once again, we've got the natural versus the reverse. And once again, I think I'm pretty sure that the majority of players would probably play reverse attitude these days, where low's encouraging.
So if you had ace and king and some others, and you want count, you normally play the king, wouldn't you?
Well, some people have that agreement. I mean, a lot of people play that. Personally, I just think it's way easier to play the ace from ace king always and the king from king queen. I understand that sometimes you'll want count, but if you're going to play the king from ace king, then you've got to, what are you going to do from king queen, Ross?
Yep,
So now,
same
does that
thing.
mean you have to play the queen from queen king and
Oh, right,
partner can
yeah.
know that sometimes you're, and then they don't know whether you've got the jack. I just think it might not be best. But I think it's simpler to always play the top of touching honours rather than. It definitely won't be best all the time, but at least you know partner leads the king and you've got the jack. Well, you know to encourage because they'll have the queen. They won't be leading it from ace king.
Yeah, thank you.
That's just my opinion, but I think it's simple as best, is what I reckon.
I like
Is
that
it?
motto, simple is best.
I don't know the Latin for it, Ross.
Isn't there a thing that if you've got ace, king, bear, that you play the king and then the ace, and that tells partner that they don't have any more cards than that? But if you've got three or four, you play ace, then king, because you've sort of got a
It is all
chain.
down to partnership agreement. I think that's a good agreement. Yes, I agree. But not everybody has it. And I'm picking that the lady that Ross was talking to and the one that you were talking to, I'm picking they're not playing that either.
So some
Probably not.
interesting things to pick from.
There's lots of things you can do when you're defending, and you're defending, you know, close to half the time.
I even played last night, Barry, and a lot of people were putting up their, we played online, putting up their blurb, and they say we're playing Ekol, five card majors. And I'm like, what sort of Ekol is that?
It's not Ekol, but
It's
hey,
a bastardized system.
I've given up trying to get people when they're playing five card majors who tell me they're playing Ekol. I've given up saying, well, you know, that's not really Ekol.
Kaplan's something.
Kaplan Scheinwald,
Scheinwald.
they started playing five card majors in Weak No Trump, and it was called Kaplan Scheinwald, but it wasn't called Ekol.
Hopefully that helps, Ross.
I'm sure that's something we can build on too, because we don't want people to get discouraged and give it up because
Yeah,
it's
no.
a, we all know it's a really difficult game to play well. That not all of us are the Jack Jameses and the Wares of the world. So yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. If you like it and you want to be successful, it's a tough game.
You're
Have a
right, Ross.
thought.
It's a, in a way, it's an easy game to play, but it's a difficult game to play well, and that's the whole thing. And part of the problem is there'll be some people listening to what I'm saying, talking about playing reverse count, reverse attitude, leading the king from all those sorts of, and they'll be thinking, "Nah, that's too hard for me. I'm not doing that." Well, you don't have to. If you want to get better, you know, sometimes you need to put a little bit of work in, and I think the majority of people probably don't want to do that.
That's true. And you must have just missed it because Mariana played 2 days in a row.
I did. Woo
Isn't
woo.
it? What days were those? You played Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, I played last night on the Rio Bridge in Levin. I had a game with Phil Revel from New Plymouth.
Oh, okay.
Hey, one thing I just thought, Ross, is that if people are saying that they feel like they've hit a wall, they could go onto the New Zealand Bridge website, click into the resources, go down to the system card, and have a look what the basic ECOL system says on that, or the basic standard American, and see how different their current card is to what they call a basic system using ECOL or standard American. And they could compare. Maybe they could just start again.
I have a question for you too.
What's
How
that?
much do they charge you to play online at Levin on a Monday night? $4. Pretty good. Pretty good value.
I couldn't believe it.
We play almost every Monday night, and it's a nice little group of people that we meet there. Yeah.
It was good. I met a chap from Oberoo and one from Balclutha last night. They were playing.
He was telling me that you can play at Thai Happy for $2 online.
Really? Oh, well, don't know.
I think that's the case. I don't know what night Thai Happy play. So
that
maybe somebody will email us.
I've got one last question for you too. How are you going with your system cards for your event that you're going to play?
I've got the system that I think that we could manage, but I just have to get to the laptop and send it to Barry for his seal of approval, yeah.
I've been waiting every day. I open my email up to see if it's there, Mariana. I've just been holding my breath.
That's rubbish, Barry.
You're right, Ross, it is.
Tell you what, we could offer, send in your system card and we'll get Barry to go over it and give you some comments. We could do that. You'll get them flying in, maybe. Maybe not.
Anybody wants to send their system card in, and we don't have to name them, but we're prepared to hear it discussed on the podcast. Yep, we could do that.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
I think the least we're going to do is discuss Barry's and my system card next Tuesday.
Okay, why don't we do that?
Am I going to have it before next week, am I, Russ?
You are going to have it today or tomorrow.
So if you want to take the services of a review by the Bridge Zone crew, send your system card in, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com, and we'll go over it, maybe not with a fine-tooth comb. That sounds cool. I'll send you in mine. Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now. There's a great tournament coming up this weekend. Sunday, the 3rd of May, it is the Central District's Regional Bridge 3A Restricted Open Pairs. So it's open to National Master and below. It's only $30 if you can. Just make sure that you're not clicking on it at 10 because you'll be late. That is the Central District Regional Bridge 3A Restricted Open Swiss Pairs, Sunday the 3rd of May, starting at 9:30, open to National Masters and below. I'm going to be there playing with Phil Rebels. If you come to our table, it'll be great to have a chat. See you there. Alrighty, that's all we've got for this week, folks. We shall catch you next week. See you at the tables.
See you later.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.